Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hello, listeners. If you're hearing this, I'm going to assume you're at least interested in money and understanding the economy and finances. And some of us want our kids to have that knowledge, too. Check out Million Bazillion, Marketplace's award-winning kids podcast that breaks down money to help dollars make more sense. A whole new season is out now. Million Bazillion is presented in partnership with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Greenlight helps kids and teens learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. You can learn more at greenlight.com/million and tune in to Million Bazillion wherever you find your favorite podcast.
Oh my goodness. There it is. There it is. There it is. There it is. As soon as I say something embarrassing. Hey everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense. Molly's out. She's actually here. She's like in Southern California running around doing something fun. Amy Scott is on the other end of the phone today. Amy Scott, how are
you? That's right. Hey, I'm well. How about you?
I'm good. It's I don't know how regular a listener you are, but these are usually fairly hollowed out shell of a Thursdays. Although I'm feeling pretty good, so we'll see.
As in the people are hollowed out shells?
No, usually it's me and Molly.
Right.
The people doing the podcast. Usually what happens is that one of us is in a reasonable mood and the other one's a little grumpy. And then by the end, it has flipped. And the one who was reasonably okay is grumpy. And the one who was grumpy is feeling better. There's some weird, like, mind meld transfer that happens here. But I don't even know.
All right. So which mood do you need me to be in? I'm not so hollowed out right now, but I could get there.
You know, different people do the show different ways. So maybe we could have two people going in who aren't feeling so bad. I don't even know.
That would be okay. I mean, on a day when the CDC says we can stop wearing masks, it's kind of hard to feel like the husk I was a few days ago.
You are jumping right to my make me smile little thing, because what else could possibly be to make me smile for today? Oh, no, that's all right. Let's get it up top. Because, look, it's huge news, but it's also just like oh, God, thank you, you know?
But also, wait, what? How do I do this? Do I do it at the gym? Do my kids who still have to wear masks, throw a fit because mom and dad are tearing them off?
Yes, what happens? Yes, they will. I don't know. I'll tell you, yeah. I got our 14-year-old her first shot today, and it was like, all right, we're getting there. We are getting there.
We're under 12, so we're waiting, and it's coming.
I think I'm going with Anthony Fauci. I think by like September, you'll be able to get your
as one
shots,
should.
2 through 11.
Yeah. All right.
As one should go with Anthony Fauci. All right.
We'll be there.
Okay. So the way it goes is we do a little news, we do a little make me smile, and then we get out of your hair. And I'm going to let you go first since you're the guest. What do you got?
Okay. So Kai, do you remember when I covered education for Marketplace
for
a decade?
Yeah, for a long time.
So, yeah, something we talked about a lot was for-profit colleges, because there were a lot of them. They got in trouble for making some, aggressive, sometimes misleading recruiting efforts and, costing a lot of money and not necessarily delivering a lot of success in terms of completion and job rates, employment rates. So the Trump administration really took a different stance than the Obama administration, not surprisingly. It scrapped rules that were aimed at holding these colleges accountable. One of them, you may remember, was called gainful employment, where colleges had to basically demonstrate that their degrees essentially justified the debt that students were taking on by landing good-paying jobs. And then another one helped students get their debt canceled if their college was found to have committed fraud, which actually happened with Corinthian colleges and ITT techs and big chains. So long story short, the colleges are back in the crosshairs. Janet Loren had a piece in Bloomberg today saying the Biden administration plans to increase scrutiny of these schools. You know, step one was denying an appeal by a for-profit law school called Florida Coastal School of Law to participate in federal student aid programs, basically because its finances were really flimsy and it wasn't delivering the advertised services. But, you know, that's the federal student aid program is $116 billion. And colleges rely on their students being able to qualify for those loans and grants. And if they don't, you know, they often go under. And so I think what's interesting about this is we'll see if it's just the first kind of step towards renewed scrutiny of that industry. I should say also that earlier this year, the Biden administration canceled about $1 billion in student debt that was held by students at those failed colleges, Corinthian and ITT. So we may hear more about this.
That bigger push for canceling student debt, has that gone anywhere, or is that still sort of sitting around the White House in some policy shop somewhere?
You know, I don't follow education anymore. I follow housing.
That is the correct response. That's fair enough.
I
think the answer is it's still sitting around. Yeah.
I think it is too, but you'll want to ask the new expert on that one.
We will do that, whoever we get covering education next. All right.
You know, other thing about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to point out, you'll find this interesting. Richard Cordray, who was the first director of the CFPB, the head of the federal, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau,
right,
is now head of the Federal Student Aid Office at the Department of Education. Yeah. So I think
that's
it's going to be
so
interesting
funny.
To see what he does in that role. And we may be seeing, you know, a little bit of echoes of the Obama administration.
CFPB to a run for, I think it was governor of Ohio, right? Or maybe Senate in Ohio.
Yeah.
And then and then student aid. Yeah. Interesting. Huh. Well, there you go. All right. And
so what about you? What you got?
The whole student loan thing. I got two. I got one and a half actually. I've got two that are 0.75 apiece. Nothing's a full story. Number one, the Colonial Pipeline hack. Well, you know, Molly and I go back and forth on who's going to have more items. The Colonial Pipeline hack. Number one, it's they started up and fuel is going to be running soon, but do not put your gasoline in plastic bags, people, for crying out loud. But interestingly enough, Bloomberg reported this morning that within hours after realizing they were being attacked and had been hit with ransomware, Colonial Pipeline paid $5 million in undetermined cryptocurrency to release all their stuff, which I had not known until this morning. I think it's really interesting because they denied up and down that they had paid. I think it's interesting they paid in crypto. I'd love to know whether it was Dogecoin or Bitcoin or Ether or what have you, right?
Right.
And still, even though they paid, it has taken a week to get that pipeline up and running. And you know, we've seen the havoc in the Southeast as people buy, you know, 4 days' worth of gas and people run out and all of that stuff. And I just think that's the idea that they paid and they did it in crypto. And still, it took them a week to get it running, is the news for me.
Well,
so that's number one.
Did you see?
Yeah.
Did you see, just to touch on something you said, we're actually talking about this on Tech tomorrow. Apparently, the decrypting tool that Colonial got from the hackers was so slow that they had to rely on their own backups to get the system up and running. So it's like,
that's
what
great.
Do you get for $5 million? Maybe
that's
that
right.
has something to do with why it took so long.
You want the fast one? It's $10 million in Bitcoin.
Right.
Oh, man. That's great. Right. Whatever that is. Jesus. Nice network you got there. Shame if something happened.
Yeah, right.
And so the other one is a labor market story. It's the Associated Press this afternoon reporting that the governor of Arizona has joined 12 other states led by Republican governors in ending the extra $300 in federal unemployment insurance that so many people are complaining have kept people out of the workforce. So number one, unemployment's getting politicized again. Number two, this is now going to be, I would say, in the tens of millions of people who are going to lose that extra $300. And we're going to have an actual organic experiment in whether or not unemployment insurance has been keeping people out of the workforce when these now 13 states stop paying those extra benefits. And it will be, I will be curious to see what happens. I will be curious to see what happens. And it's just, honestly, it's just a shame that they're all GOP-led states, just because politicizing this does nobody any good.
Right. Anyway, but as you say, I mean, it's an experiment with people, with lives.
Yeah. All right. Liana, hit us. Move us along. There we go. Okay, mine we already did. Masks, and how if you're fully vaccinated,
smiling,
whether you're inside or out, it's such huge news, and it's going to be, I can't wait to see how this plays out, because there's going to be, number one, some social anxiety. Number two, there's going to be a little, there's going to be some social tension, right, as people without masks run into people wearing masks. The only thing I can tell you is don't be a jerk, right? Just don't be a jerk. And if a store wants you to wear a mask, wear a mask. Don't be a jerk.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, people
so
are saying,
yeah.
If you see someone wearing a mask, like, I'm not going to judge them. Who knows what's going on?
Right.
And I think the anxiety is no small part of it. I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to do.
Right. And the habit that we've all gotten into of having a spare mask in the car or putting one in your pocket when you go out, I think that's just a good standby, you know, for however many more months it is.
My question is, when do we stop crossing the street to avoid our neighbors?
Oh, that's such a good question. I did it this
morning. Because
I
found myself doing that yesterday and thinking, well, actually, now maybe that's rude.
Right.
There's a lot to refigure out.
That's exactly right. All right.
Mine is.
What's yours?
Mine made me smile, but in kind of a. It's just kind of funny. So you probably heard, maybe you heard, the New York Times editorial board put some questions to the candidates running for mayor in that city.
Yep.
One of which was, what's the median sales price for a home in Brooklyn? And some of the answers were laughably removed from reality. Ray McGuire, who's a former Citigroup executive, guessed around $80,000 to $90,000. Sean Donovan, who's a former HUD official, said $100,000.
Yes.
So the median price is actually $900,000, I should just say. So that's pretty off. But, you know, and it led to all sorts of people poking fun on Twitter. But one of my favorite housing websites that I read, Curbed, did some research and found only 7 homes for sale in the entire city of New York for under $100,000.
Oh,
none of them in Brooklyn, I should say. 6 in the Bronx, 1 in Queens. And of course, they were either like really tiny or had some income restrictions, so you could only buy it if you made under a certain amount. So just a real estate reality check there.
Yeah, and a state of politics and political awareness in New York amongst many of the people who want to lead that city, which is just kind of bananas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bananas.
You should come to Baltimore, on the other hand. We've got some properties for less than $100,000.
About which you are reporting on many of them, actually.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Good stories. Good stories there from Amy. All right. Super quick on the way out, because we try to keep this under 15 minutes. As all y'all know, it is fundraising time, and I will hit you with some random factoids, and then we will get out of your hair. We have been going for 14 months now, 5 days a week. It was a huge pivot for us. 15 minutes most days, but those minutes matter. And more importantly, they don't come easy to us. Molly and I get to come on the microphone and just have a good old time. But there is, as you hear at the end of the broadcast, every single day, a whole list of people who do the actual work to get us on the air. It takes time, it takes attention, and it takes resources. And right now, we're asking for resources from you. If Make Me Smart matters to you, help us out. Marketplace.org/givesmart, or there's a link in the show notes. Tony's going to put it there. If you can, we'd love your support. And if you can't, we get it. These are still really hard times. We're down 8.3 million jobs. And whatever we can do to help you through, then that's cool, too. There we go.
All right. That's it for us today. I'm going to be back tomorrow, if you'll have me, for Economics on Tap and the YouTube live stream, where we will find out if Amy can fit a camera in her closet. I'm not sure. It might have to be like a fisheye lens. That's at 3:30 p.m. Pacific time, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time.
It is happy hour somewhere. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Tony Wagner is our digital producer. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters, also our Make Me Smart explainers.
Today's program was engineered by Drew Jostad. Ben Holliday and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. Donna Tam is the senior producer, and the executive director of On Demand is Sitara Nieves.
I'm reasonably sure it's Liana on the other end of the line. Liana, whisper to me. Let me know you're there. It's Liana. There she is. So Drew's back tomorrow, probably.
Today's program was engineered by Liana Spolacci. Sorry, Liana.
It's live podcasting, you know, right?
That's right.
There you go.
To come back to.
I mean, honestly, if it happened
on the air, you get what you pay for.
That's right. Marketplace.org/givesmart, and we'll get the credits right, I promise.
Yeah.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.